care. We ask all the questions that others don't dare. We're dead on the air. We're back, we're dead on the air.
Welcome to Dads on the Air for November the 17th, 2009. Bit of a cool spring day here in Sydney. We'd like to welcome everybody who's joining us via the miracles of live streaming from around the world. And also don't forget that you can listen to this program later at www.dadsontheair.net. Got in the studio with us today Ian Purdy from ianpurdy.com.
Good morning, everybody.
Bill Cable from Mediate Now.
Good morning, John. Good morning, everybody.
Phil York and Charlie out manning the phones there. It's quite a complicated show today from Dads in Distress and myself, John Stapleton. Thanks very much for joining us on the show. We're going to be talking today about International Men's Day. We're dedicating the entire program to International Men's Day, and we've got a range of speakers both from Australia and around the world. First up, we're going to be talking with Elizabeth Chelly. She is the keynote speaker at International Men's Day celebrations at Parliament House in Canberra in a couple of days' time on the 19th. That'll be followed by Dr. Jerome, I can't pronounce his last name, Tilak Singh, Dr. Jerome Tilak Singh from Trinidad in the West Indies. Diane Spears, who is the USA coordinator of International Men's Day. Jason Thompson, who's from Australia and also involved in it. Frank Crump from the USA, who's an education expert and has written In Search of Fatherhood. And Uma Challa from India, who's been quite an heroic figure over in India, championing the causes of men, and men do particularly badly in India as a result of the divorce culture there. First up, just an introduction on International Men's Day from Bill Cable.
Thank you, John. Well, International Men's Day, which is being held this year on November 19, is finally and deservedly starting to get more recognition and traction around the world. Warwick Marsh from Dads for Kids, who is the global coordinator for IMD, set the scene last week on Dads on the Air when he spoke about some of the events taking place in Australia and around the world to celebrate this important international event. As John mentioned, our guests this week are from three different continents, representing millions of good and decent men around the globe who currently witness themselves being publicly and relentlessly maligned on a daily basis. While there are exceptions to every rule, these should never be used to misrepresent the whole group in the way we now see men being portrayed. We commence our international lineup of guests with Australia's Dr. Elizabeth Chelly from qualityliving.com.au. Elizabeth is the keynote speaker at the IMD function to be held at Australian Parliament House in the nation's capital on the 19th of November. Dr. Chelly is a strong supporter of the rights of men to be treated as an equal in modern society, instead of having to face the daily injustices that confront them in many sectors of our community. And we have Dr. Chelly on the line now. Are you there, Elizabeth?
Good morning, gentlemen. Happy International Men's Day. Two sleeps to go.
Thank you very much.
Two sleeps to go. Oh, look, thank you very much for joining Dads on the Air.
Very welcome. Very happy to kick this off this year. How exciting is it to have all your international speakers celebrating on Dads on the Air? That's brilliant.
It's technically quite difficult with the phone and so on and so forth.
There's a way, and you yes. men have got the skills to bring it together, so there's a celebration already. Just to acknowledge that.
Let's hope so. So what do you intend to say at the conference? Can you just give us an idea of what's going on and what you'll be saying?
Well, you know, the theme for International Men's Day this year is positive male role models.
Right.
And so there are some key experiences I'll be sharing about that, I guess, both as a daughter, as a woman, and as a student of a particular male role model that plays a very significant part in my life, and combined with a lot of the issues men face, but more importantly, some of the brilliant contributions that men make, we'll really be having a celebration. So I intend sharing some heartfelt and some happy moments in that short but inspirational time, I hope. So I'm looking forward to sharing it with a lot of the people attending on the day.
It is astonishing, isn't it, the wall of negative propaganda that fathers face on a daily basis. Is that something that you notice?
Oh, well, fathers and men in general, yeah. There's unfortunately very flippant comments that can be made about men or how they approach things or how they don't approach things. But the great thing about International Men's Day is it gives us the opportunity to celebrate all the beautiful features of men. It's a reminder to people in our networks, in our family, in our community and in our social groups, that appreciation of what he does do and how he does it within his own strengths and skills as a man in his own right, appreciation and acknowledgement of that, even the seemingly little things, can lift his spirit and just have him shine inside. You know, unfortunately, men are so misunderstood, but I think they're so beautiful. They've all got something to offer and teach us, and the more we can embrace that, the more our inner strengths and qualities come out. So International Men's Day is just overriding a lot of that negativity. We hear it enough, so we're going to counterbalance it now and celebrate instead.
So there have been, in fact, some people who have been quite critical of International Men's Day as somehow detracting from International Women's Day and women's achievements. What do you say to that?
Have they? That's a shame.
Yeah, it is. It's ridiculous.
It's almost like an us versus them. It's like if you celebrate one, you're automatically putting down the other. That's just such an inaccurate... excuse me, such an inaccurate assumption, unfortunately. If we can review that, we walk alongside each other. We're so complementary to one another. The day is another day in the year for us to really celebrate and honour the beauty of whatever it is we're celebrating, or to raise awareness of whatever that day represents. And International Men's Day represents men. It, with all due respect, has nothing to do with women, but not in a negative manner. Mm. We celebrate International Women's Day March of every year as well. So the way we celebrate that with such positivity and acknowledge women for what they do, men rightly have a need, want, deserve that opportunity to celebrate it as well. And there's plenty there to celebrate. So if people are going to go reactive on it, then hopefully they can see we walk side by side rather than against each other and celebrate and compliment. Because I know when a man appreciates what I offer, or he can be in interaction with me, that brings out the best in me. So I'd love to help him to be able to bring out the best in himself, because in interaction we experience amazing things that you can share and explore, and I give him perspectives he may not have had before, he gives me perspectives I may not have had before, and that's the natural complementary nature of masculine and feminine interaction. So we walk side by side.
So why, as a practicing psychologist and a professional woman, did you decide to stick your neck out and support International Men's Day and speak in federal parliament?
Is it sticking my neck out?
To a degree, I think, maybe.
Why did I do it? I love men. I think men are absolutely beautiful in all their capacities, as friends, as partners and husbands, as fathers, as role models in particular. Men and their contribution to young boys and to young men is incredible, and I know we've spoken about that before, but young boys really learn a lot about their own developing manhood by observing other positive male role models. As a daughter, my father and other fathers and their positive impact on a young girl's self-esteem, her sense of security, her sense of safety are so vital that I most definitely am willing to share that component of my own personal life and my own professional experiences to help men understand and realise the depth and value of their contribution. And I think it's quite a shame we don't let them know that more often. So, you know, I have to say I don't see it as sticking my neck out at all. I see it as a celebration. I'm so excited to be able to speak at International Men's Day at our nation's capital, at Australian Parliament House, and share those experiences and really keep on driving the momentum to celebrate men. To have to justify it in any way just seems absolutely ludicrous to me. They're half of our population, and they make such a valid contribution.
I know, and they're so constantly denigrated. It's just astonishing.
Well, we can counterbalance that. That's what International Men's Day is about. It's about celebrating men, and it's about reminding people the wonderful contributions they make, the masculine strengths and skills that they've got. I'm really looking forward to texting all of my men friends first thing Thursday morning, this Thursday 19th. They deserve it for the great friendship that they offer me. You know, disagreements and all, they challenge my thinking, they help me find the inner courage to take risks. They really expand my own boundaries that I didn't even know I had. So, you know, I'm looking forward to texting my male friends or emailing them, calling some of them if I get a chance between plane rides. So
Elizabeth, it's Bill Cable. Just wondering if you had any resistance from your sisters in your promotion of men's interests over the years.
Oh, not at all. No, they love the work that I do.
I don't mean your personal sisters. Oh, I mean the sisterhood.
The sisterhood. Oh, sorry. I don't espouse to a sisterhood. I didn't sign into that contract. Look, along the way, yeah, I guess so. But it's based on that assumption you mentioned before, that just because you might be doing men stuff, it's as though there's an automatic assumption that it's going against women. And when I just talk to them about it and say, actually, we walk alongside each other, it's not about that at all. And how could I possibly be going against the sisters, so to speak, when I'm a female myself? I'd be dishonouring myself, and I value myself way too much to do that. So, yeah, it's a matter of self-respect. I respect who I am as a woman, and in my being able to assist men be the best men they can be for themselves and in their situation, then it means they help me become the best woman I can be. And we work in interaction with each other. It's a dynamic. So it's an education process for women as well. So any reactions I may get from them, they very quickly get dissolved once they're just their own perspectives expanded a lot more. And when they receive insight on how men think naturally and how we can interact with that, they actually find that quite uplifting. And it's great to see their eyes shine when they go, oh, okay, I get it now. And they see a place for themselves. So, you know, it's all about helping each other raise our own strengths so that we can all communicate with each other and share with each other, you know, whether that's verbally or non-verbally or just sitting in the space and enjoying each other's company because we appreciate each other. So,
well, yeah. Thank you so much for joining Dads on the Air.
Not a problem.
We've been talking with Elizabeth Celli. She's a psychologist and a men's health expert, and she is the keynote speaker at the International Men's Day celebrations at Parliament House on Thursday. Thank you so much for joining us.
Good luck on Thursday.
Happy International Men's Day, gentlemen.
Thank you very much.
We'll be back in a short moment, and we'll be talking with Dr. Jerome. He'll have to forgive me if I'm pronouncing this wrong, Tilak Singh. We'll be back in a moment.
Mama hang and take one. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Everything's gonna be all right this morning. Everything. Hey, when I was a young boy, right about the age of five, I think, I had something in my pocket, keep a lot of vocal line. Now I'm a man, made 21. You know, baby, we have a whole lot to put.
And this is our special International Men's Day edition of Dads on the Air. International Men's Day was inaugurated in 1999 in Trinidad and Tobago by Dr. Jerome Tilak Singh and was supported by the United Nations, receiving in principle support from men's groups in USA, Europe, Africa, Asia and the Caribbean. Speaking on behalf of UNESCO, Director of Women and Culture of Peace, Ms. Ingeborg Bryan, said of IMD, "This is an excellent idea and would give some gender balance." Citizens in Trinidad and Tobago were the first to celebrate IMD, with the event being conceived and coordinated by Dr. Jerome Telaxing, history lecturer from the University of West Indies, and the first event was held at the Families in Action headquarters in Newtown, Port of Spain. We have Dr. Telaxing on the line. Are you there, Doctor?
Yes, I am, sir.
Good morning. Good evening to you, I think. Dr. Telaxing, do you mind if I call you Jerome?
Sure, not a problem. That's fine.
Jerome, yes, I wonder if you could tell us. We're very interested in how this international event got started, and I wonder if you could just tell us something about the beginning. I believe it has something to do with your father's birthday.
Yes, it is. It's the birthday of my dad, and I felt it was an important day because he was one of my role models. He influenced my life a lot, and I had hoped that other young men, other boys, teenagers, would also see their dad or their father figure in their family, be it an uncle or a big brother, as an important role model. And I felt also that this day was important because in 1990, our football team, on the way to the World Cup, united our country. Football sports in Trinidad and Tobago, like cricket in Australia, it's a very powerful medium, and it brought our people together across class, ethnic, religious, and gender lines. So I felt these are the two reasons why this day was so important to me.
And this year, 2009, role model is in fact the international, or men's role model is in fact the theme, I believe.
Correct. That is the theme this year, and previous years we have focused on health, man's quest for peace, we have looked at the environment, we have looked at various issues over the years, and this year I felt we should focus on the role models.
And what events do you have planned in Trinidad and Tobago?
Well, since Saturday we have been having a series of events leading up to Thursday. Yesterday I met with a small group, the Husband's Club. Tomorrow there will be an interview on the local television station helping promote the day for 1 hour. And on Wednesday there will be a radio program on one of the local radio stations interviewing people on the street and also interviewing people from non-governmental organizations, asking them how the day has influenced their lives, transformed their lives. And on the day itself, Thursday, I'm having a dinner at a restaurant with some of the men who have been supporting the observance during the last few years.
Yes, we're speaking with Dr. Jerome Telaxing, the founder of International Men's Day. Jerome, have you noticed any changes as a result of celebrating International Men's Day over the last 10 years, this being the 10-year anniversary?
Yes, I have been noticing a lot of changes, and these changes include some of the men in Trinidad and Tobago and the Caribbean becoming more sensitive to their impact on society. They're becoming less aggressive. They're becoming more aware of their role to change the world and their role amongst others to create a positive force. But I know that I'm just speaking for Trinidad and Tobago and the Caribbean, and the other persons who have been assisting all over the world, in Italy, Canada, Australia, like Mr. Warwick Marsh, and all these other persons, including in India and Europe, they have been telling me about the successes, updating me on their achievements. So I feel it has a global impact, which I feel is good in the long run, where we need a more safer, peaceful world.
Yes, well, it's now in 20 countries, 20 nations celebrate International Men's Day, and it's not really seen as in competition with International Women's Day. It is something different, isn't it?
Correct. I have told many persons that to find a solution to this problem for gender relations, it takes both men and women to come together. It takes two hands to clap. We cannot just be promoting the woman, and we cannot just stereotype or stigmatize men as perpetrators of violence or as victims. We need to find out how we could highlight positive aspects of the men's lives, how we could improve ourselves, And we need to see the balance that both men and women are equal and we all share this world.
Yes, and do you see there are any special difficulties in your country, in Trinidad and Tobago?
Pardon?
Do you think there are any special difficulties for the men in your country, as distinct, say, from the US or from Australia or other, any of the other countries around the world we've been talking about?
Yes. I believe that in the Caribbean, the men's movement is not as developed and as it has not matured as other areas in the world. And even a simple thing as a newsletter, starting a newsletter, it is difficult to get contributors, to get resources. The ministry, the governments in many of the Caribbean islands tend to focus more on giving money and giving resources to the women groups, and they tend to neglect the men groups. So this is the imbalance in the government's attention, and it is reflected in the society where they tend to just blame men for everything. So I have been trying to improve the image of men and trying to tell the governments of the Caribbean and Trinidad and Tobago that we need to equally share resources and devote attention to both sides.
Yes, it's interesting. We have similar problems in Australia, and I'm sure when we go to the other countries later in this broadcast, we'll probably find that it's a common problem. And do you think the situation, though, is improving, I think you were saying earlier?
Yes, I believe it is improving. I believe that thanks to the media, right, people, not just through the local newspapers, but on the internet, the blogs, the Facebook, the emails, the message has been getting across, and I have been getting some positive responses from women groups in the Caribbean and in my country, saying that they want to observe the day. The women want to honor their fathers, their grandfathers, their uncles, big brothers, small brothers who have helped them along their way in life. So I'm getting a very good response from the women groups, and I'm hoping that the government see this as a need to now help the men in our society.
Yes, well, I noticed this year organisations holding inaugural celebrations include Canada, Sweden, Holland, Germany, Ghana, Moldova, and Hungary. So you've really started a movement there, Jerome, and you ought to be congratulated for getting this moving. Is there any message you'd like to give to the other organisers around the world as they celebrate International Men's Day?
Yes, I want to thank them officially on your radio station. I want to thank them very, very much for their tireless efforts, devoted persons, energetic, enterprising individuals, persons who have not met, but I sense a lot of positive energy. They're doing a lot of good work, and I know that this work is not just for the present. The beautiful thing is that this work will help the future generations to create a better world. So I want to thank every individual out there who have been coordinating this International Men's Day, chatting with me, and other persons who have not as yet met or spoken to via email or the phone. I want to thank them for believing in the day and believing that a small movement, right, involving humble, decent, ordinary citizens, help change the world. Because I've always told my people here in Trinidad and Tobago, you don't have to be a politician or have a title to help make a change. Once you have a good idea and you have good people supporting you, change will happen.
We've been talking with Dr. Jerome Tilak Singh from Trinidad in the West Indies. Thank you so much for coming on Dads on the Air. We'll be back in a moment. We'll be talking with Sue Price from the Men's Rights Agency briefly, and then we'll take a quick break. Are you there, Sue? Hang on a minute here.
Yeah.
Sorry. It's a bit... Are you there, Sue?
Yes, good morning, John and everybody.
Right. Look, you've got a bit to contribute to the debate on International Men's Day. I gather that you had an invitation that was knocked back.
Oh, yes, rather disappointing. One of our people made inroads with the public sector union with the men's committee, and the men's committee was organising to celebrate International Men's Day in a fairly big way. I was invited to speak, and shortly after the invitation was issued, it was cancelled by a woman executive chair, executive member who didn't like the idea of someone from men's rights addressing an International Men's Day gathering. So unfortunately, it seems to me that celebration with the public sector union has actually disappeared off the radar at the moment. And this is really strange because they do have a women's committee and they do celebrate International Women's Day and all the rest of the issues that go with it. But I have to say I'm delighted and very proud to have been asked to speak at an International Men's Day celebrated by the mayor of Ipswich City Council, Paul Pasali. He's hosting a breakfast on Thursday, which will be a wonderful day, a wonderful morning, and we also have a guest speaker called Ian Maurice, who's an entertainer, singer, radio and television host to liven up the day.
Right. So this comes really, doesn't it, against a backdrop of quite a war on fathers in Australia at the moment.
Oh, absolutely, and it's intensifying, John. I just want to briefly tell your listeners about a shared parenting conference on December the 2nd being held at Finkel Theatre at the Australian National University in Canberra. Registration is $120. I know it's a little bit of money, but if anyone can go to it, I would really welcome it. It's being put on by Jennifer McIntosh, who is promoting the attachment theory process whereby fathers shouldn't have contact with young children, and Richard Chisholm, who is supposedly the independent chair of the Family Law Courts and Violence inquiry that's being conducted at the moment. I am quite appalled and horrified that these two people, particularly Richard Chisholm, would place himself in this position. He is, after all, supposed to be chairing this inquiry as an independent person. How can he claim to be independent when he's running a conference which is dealing with the very issues we're talking about? And we all know what his opinions are about shared parenting. He doesn't like the idea, neither does Jennifer McIntosh for young children.
Are you saying that these people are the dinosaurs of the old family law system?
Well, I think Richard Chisholm possibly fills that bill, yes. Jennifer McIntosh, she sort of snuck up on everyone, I'm afraid. She came in saying she was in favour of shared parenting, but then she's resurrected some dinosaur theories, like the attachment theory, to say that fathers shouldn't have contact with young children, and if there's a conflict in families, there shouldn't be contact.
And like so many people, their entire careers have been based on putting down men and championing the causes of single mothers.
Absolutely, and that's I do hope this is a success, International Men's Day, and I hope it grows from what has been started, you know, a few years ago in Trinidad. It should be celebrated. There's no reason why men and women shouldn't be celebrating the day for all the wonderful things that men do. You know, we all, I think, love some man in our life, whether it be our father, our brother, our son, or our husband.
Oh, good old Reg.
Well, good old Reg, he's right here working away, talking to some poor bloke who can't see his kids, you know, whilst I'm taking the front stage for him. So, but that's what it's all about.
Right. Look, thank you so much for joining Dads on the Air again. It's a good thing, isn't it, that Ipswich is one of the few councils in Australia that has been at the forefront of this.
It has been, and it's really great, and I'm really very, very thankful. We also thought we had Logan City Council on board, but I think the mayor, we have a lady mayoress, so I don't think they call them that nowadays, but Pam Parker is the mayor. Maybe she decided that it wasn't going to happen.
It's ridiculous. Why should the advance of one person be put against another?
Well, it shouldn't, of course, John. You're quite right. It's a good question to ask. I don't think we're going to get much of an answer from in recent times. But we have to keep fighting, and we have to keep putting the good points forward. And you know, men are very valued in my household. They're very valued in a lot of other people's households. But I know it just needs people like me and others to speak up about it.
We've been talking with Sue Price from the Men's Rights Agency, a regular guest on Dads on the Air. Thank you so much for coming back on.
Thanks, John.
Now we're taking a quick break and we'll be back talking with the USA coordinator of International Men's Day, Diane Sears. We'll be back in a moment.
Welcome to my nightmare. I think you're gonna like it. I think you're gonna feel you belong. necessary sedation. You wanna feel at home, 'cause you belong.
Welcome to my breakdown. I hope I didn't scare you. That's just the way we are when we come down. We sweat and laugh and scream here, 'cause life is just a dream here. You know inside you feel right at
on the line now, all the way from the USA, we have Diane Sears, who is the USA coordinator for International Men's Day. Are you with us, Diane?
Yes, I am. Hello, how are you?
Hello, we're very well indeed. Thank you for coming on to Dad's on the Air.
Thanks for inviting me.
No, look, you're more than welcome on this very auspicious occasion. Could you just tell us a little bit about how you got involved in becoming the coordinator for the United States of America for International Men's Day?
Well, Warwick Morris, who's the global coordinator for International Men's Day, asked me to help out. He initially asked me last year to help out with International Men's Day 2008, and getting the word out in the United States, which I did, and he was kind enough to ask me to come on board again in 2009, and I'm excited about it. It's an honor, and International Men's Day 2009 seemed to be taking on a life of its own.
Yeah, well, it certainly does. Obviously, we are having a lot of the speakers from all over the world on the show this morning. Could you tell us a little bit about what you do as the coordinator? I mean, what does it involve?
What it involves is contacting fatherhood organizations, men's groups, media, and telling them about International Men's Day, asking them to come on board, and explaining the mission of International Men's Day.
And what do you see as the mission? I mean, I've got a spiel in front of me of quotes from you.
Well, this year the theme is positive male role models.
Yes.
We're asking fatherhood organizations, men's groups, and individuals in general who want to participate, and we're asking them to coordinate an activity in line with the theme, the honoring of a male who has contributed to the community or made sacrifices, hold discussion groups concerning positive male role models or issues that men and boys are having. It's my hope that International Men's Day will be the catalyst for all individuals who have key pieces of the puzzle to helping men resolve their health and parenting issues, to come on board and work together.
Well, we have a quote here from you on the piece of paper. It says, "We must work together as a team. International Men's Day provides us with a great opportunity. Strong fathers create and sustain efficiently functioning family units which positively shape the minds and souls of our children, our future, our bridge to the future." Would you like to just talk about how you are achieving this with children through the encouragement of men?
I'm sorry, would you repeat that, please?
Well, how do you see that this encouraging of International Men's Day, how do you see it impacting on the future of our children? As you said in that quote, strong fathers create and sustain efficiently functioning family units which positively shape the minds and souls of our children. Well, would you like to just talk about that? Because that really is, I think, the crux of the issue here for us here on Dads on the Air.
Well, first of all, I view children not as mere extensions of ourselves. They're our future, just as we were and are our parents' future. And that future, they are our bridge to the future. They are our connection. Men and boys do not have a voice or do not feel that they have a voice. They are mischaracterized in mainstream media and in society in general. Many men that I've talked to from around the world feel that they are voiceless and powerless. They have health issues, they have parenting issues which they feel are not being addressed. They feel that they are not being given the respect that they need. We certainly aren't, as a world, acknowledging the valuable contributions and sacrifices that men make. It's very difficult. When you have all that going on, it's very difficult for men to live up to their full potential, to empower their families. If we give men everything that they need and want to be men, to raise families, to move their families forward, to positively shape the minds and souls of our children, we're going to have strong families. Strong families make for strong communities. When you have strong communities, you have strong nations. Strong nations make for a strong and connected world.
So what you're really saying is it's a form of a healing, because obviously with the divorce rates going through the roof as they have in the last 30 years, we haven't had strong families, we haven't had strong communities. In fact, we've had all of these values being attacked by our governments, by corporations, and by various other vested interests, the family law industry, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So what you're actually proposing here is that we're actually going to turn the tide of this anti-male, anti-family, almost anti-children, almost, as you say, anti-our future, and turn it towards a more positive, sustainable future through encouraging men to live their lives and their masculine side proudly, and continue as men have for generations. Am I summing you up here? I'm probably putting words into your mouth. How about you talk about it?
Celebration is not just for men and boys.
Yep.
You know, I want women to get involved in this. I want
Absolutely.
Women to get involved in this and help celebrate men. You know, and our sons need to see that. You know, our sons have to be really confused. You know, they're looking at their fathers and seeing what their fathers are going through, seeing that their fathers don't have the proper parenting and health resources, that don't have access to that. They see the negative stereotypes on television in which men are portrayed. That has to be scary for them. They must be asking themselves, gee, is that what I have to look forward to? Is that what manhood is all about?
Is that my future? Yeah.
And we're speaking with Diane Sears, who's the USA coordinator of International Men's Day. Diane, good morning. It's Bill Cable speaking to you at the moment.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. You mentioned then some of the barriers to the men getting a fairer deal. I just wonder if you could expand on that and what you're finding in the USA as far as the barriers.
Well, it's sort of a mixed bag here in the United States. one interesting thing has happened. The President of the United States, the Honorable Barack H. Obama, has placed fatherhood on America's national agenda. He instituted a fatherhood roundtable. He's instituted a national conversation on fatherhood. He started that in June, a few days before Father's Day. He's been going around the country holding town meetings in different regions of the United States, and he's gathering together fathers, men, women, fatherhood practitioners, the medical community, the social services community, and basically what he wants is for everyone to sit down, identify the issue, but not only to identify the issue, but to identify the solutions and the resources that are available or can be made available to resolve the problem. We're very lucky to have a president who believes that men and fathers are important.
Yes, having read his book, his father had a pivotal role in his life, but I had actually heard some rumours that he wasn't as supportive as fathers as we would have liked, but you're giving a very positive message, which is great to hear.
I have never seen a president in the United States tackling fatherhood. He talked about it in his presidential campaign. He talked about it when he was running for the United States Senate. I'm not saying that this is the be-all and end-all to curing the problems that fathers have, but I think it's a very positive step. I've never seen a national leader in this country take on fatherhood the way he has, and I think it's the beginning. Here we have a world leader that's put fatherhood on the national policy agenda.
So it is safe for us to assume then that it would appear that we are seeing leadership away from the vilification of men that's been going on for the last 30 or 40 years. And Barack Obama is seen as the shining light, I guess, of this movement of what we described before as a healing that is hopefully taking place in our society, where men will eventually be able to take their righteous place with women, and where we all respect each other and care for each other and get on with the business of bringing up our children together.
It's exactly. Another thing that's going on here, there is a piece of legislation which, if it's passed, would create the first Office of Men's Health. And the Office of Men's Health would operate the way the Office of Women's Health operates, in that it would be an advocate for men's health. It would advocate for more education programs. It would advocate for research funding, increased research funding, and increased research. We have a very serious problem here with men's health here in the United States. American women are outliving American men by between 5 to 6 years.
Yeah, no, we've got the same situation going on here. Now, you are actually the author of a book, In Search of Fatherhood, Transcending Boundaries. Would you like to just talk a little bit about that in the closing minutes of the interview here?
Okay. In Search of Fatherhood, Transcending Boundaries is a compilation of essays and interviews from 16 men from different parts of the world, and they're from different backgrounds. And they talk about fatherhood issues. They talk about the resources that men need. They talk about their role models. They talk about their parenting issues. Several of the individuals are from the United States. As an example, Warren Farrell contributed an essay. Dr. Warren Farrell.
Yep, he's been a guest on this program numerous times.
Dr. Stephen Baskerville. And I interviewed Dr. Alvin Poussin, who's a professor of psychiatry at Harvard University. And then we had everyday people, everyday men as well.
That's great. That's a great read. So where can listeners get hold of this, of your book, In Search of Fatherhood?
www.amazon.com.
Okay, from Amazon. Well, we're talking to Diane Sears, who is the coordinator for International Men's Day for the whole of the USA. Thank you for coming on to Dad's on the Air.
Thank you so much for having me, and happy International Men's Day.
Well, thank you so much for those thoughts.
Thanks, Diane.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye. We'll be back in a moment.
I paid my dues time after time. I've done my sentence but committed no crime. And bad mistakes I've made a few. I've had my shins and kicked in my. And everything that goes with it, I thank you all. But it's been no bed of roses, no pleasure cruise. I consider it a challenge before the whole human race, and I ain't gonna lose.
So fast. You have to cherish every moment.
Please, Daddy.
You have a right to be involved in the life of your child.
What do you care? It's not like you were ever there anyway.
Dads in Distress meet in your area every week. If you're a non-custodian parent and would like to know who to contact or just want someone to talk to, help is just a phone call away. Dads in Distress, 1300 853 437 or dadsindistress.asn.au.
We're back. Dad's on the Air.
And welcome back to Dad's on the Air. As we continue our international jaunt to celebrate International Men's Day, we now are back in Australia, and we have on the line Jason Thompson, who is the International Men's Day historian and promotions coordinator. Are you there, Jason?
I'm there. How are you? Yeah,
very well, thank you. Jason, I understand you've been piecing together some of the history of International Men's Day, and I'm sure there are a lot of interesting facts surrounding its evolution. What led you to get involved in researching the background of the event?
Well, about a year and a half ago, might have been 2 years ago, I stumbled across a Wikipedia entry about International Men's Day. And I was surprised to learn that the event existed, and I just thought I'd investigate it a little bit more. And what I learned, there was a lot of misinformation on that Wikipedia website, and being the only website in the world that really dealt with the topic, I took on the task of finding out the truth behind the event. for instance, that article said that International Men's Day was being celebrated in many different dates in many different countries in the world. But when I looked into that, I found out that those dates referred to Father's Days, War Remembrance Days, Saint celebrations, things like that.
Yes, well, I think some people would say that men have always had their own day, which that being Father's Day, but of course not all men are fathers, are they?
That's exactly right, and that's one of the main reasons Jerome Tilluk Singh started the day. He mentioned that in some of his writings.
We spoke to Jerome earlier in the program, actually.
Right, I missed that.
So you wanted to broaden it to include all men, and I guess to at least your studies have seen that that's happened, and it's now covering different issues each year. I think this year it's for men's role models, isn't it?
That's right. Well, that's one of the undergirding principles of International Men's Day from the very start. Jerome laid that down as a foundation that we're to observe every year. Well, that's what he recommended. But this year we're just especially highlighting it because it's such a good idea.
And how did it come to settle on 19 November? Is that going to be the date every year?
It will be, yes. Since the 1960s, people have been pushing for International Men's Day, and all kinds of people have been proposing different days of the year, you know, March, February, August, whatever. And there was even a few attempts. I think Kansas was the first one in February to set up an International Men's Day, but those events didn't continue, they didn't persist, so it looks like 19th of November is the first International Men's Day that'll continue year after year. So that will go on.
And, Jason, without a consistent account of where it started and some agreement about which day of the year it was meant to be celebrated, I imagine it was somewhat confusing, indeed discouraging for those who wanted to celebrate their own IMD. Do you think this is one of the reasons why it's taken a while to generate the level of interest we're now seeing?
Oh, absolutely. That was definitely the reason, as far as I'm concerned anyway. People are very wary of getting involved with new celebrations and new ideas because they're not always certain, you know, who started it, whether it was some radical group or, you know, what the purpose of it is. So, you know, it's very important that we get an account up on the internet saying what the purpose of International Men's Day is, where it started, and just to show that it's got integrity and, you know, that it's not some radical thing. And as a result of having put that information out on the internet, a lot of people, as you say, have wanted to join this year. It's really generated a lot of interest.
So I noticed that this year the new starters are Canada, Sweden, Holland, Germany, Ghana, Moldova and Hungary. Do you find, is this a big crop, or do you find that many joining each year, or just a couple?
No, this is new. Last year we had Trinidad and Tobago on previous years, Australia, India, Singapore, Malta, United Kingdom and USA at best. This year, like you say, you've named those countries, Sweden, Canada, South Africa, Hungary, Moldova, Italy, Netherlands, Germany, and even Ireland, I find out this morning's joined in. So that's more than a doubling of interest in terms of, you know, the countries who are holding an event.
And do these countries coordinate their activities? Altogether,
do you mean?
Yes. Is there a common? I mean, you've got this common theme this year of role models. Are there other ways that they coordinate the activities?
Well, each country can, you know, address issues that are unique to their area. I know in South Africa, for instance, they have a problem with AIDS there, and they wanted to highlight that. So it's not necessarily one coordinated theme all around the world, but and that's a good thing in a way because it gives people a chance to highlight what's important to them. Yeah.
And is it modelled in any way on International Women's Day, or is it just it's a completely different approach?
No, I think it's quite different in a way. You know, I don't know a lot about International Women's Day, but part of it's to do with the supposed emancipation of women from various forms of oppression. But International Men's Day, while it may include the same sorts of things, it's more about providing, well, good male role models, as we talked about before, and just a day to honour the contributions men give to society, which is often overlooked, I think.
Is that how you would characterise International Men's Day? If you had to just sum it up in a phrase, how would you do so?
Oh, look, the one phrase that always comes to mind for me is positive male role models. I think that's the highlight of this celebration. I mean, others might have a slightly different view, but that one's a real standout. So, and of course, to highlight men's contributions to society, and there's a lot of contributions, let's face it.
Yes, we can look historically, we can look at what's going on now in fields of science, health, technology. I mean, you don't know where to start, really.
That's right, yeah.
And so the idea of International Men's Day is to promote that that knowledge and I guess to encourage future generations to feel the same way.
That's right, particularly the young boys, because they get a constant parade of images of men behaving badly and boys behaving badly, you know, press stories, you know, news stories, and they don't really have these images of what a good male is, not in the way we might have done, you know, 40 years ago, where we had a lot of good male role models, good family men, you know, good workers, good whatever, you know.
Yes.
But these boys really, really need that at the moment because of all the negative stereotypes being put in front of them out there.
Yes, even, say, in sporting role models, there seems to be an enormous focus on the odd one that goes off the rails, aren't they? Isn't there?
Well, exactly. That's right. That's right. And it's also sports heroes and academic achievers are great, but there's also people who are peacemakers, you know, and people who know how to be a friend to other people, and less sort of dramatic roles that we need to highlight as well.
Yes, I'm interested in the man that goes to work every day for his family and doesn't get to spend nearly as much time with his family as he'd like, but he's off working to bring to keep the family going, and then sometimes gets denigrated because he hasn't, you know, done the dishes or played with his kids enough.
And, not spending enough time with the kids, that's right. Whenever I hear anybody say, well, Dad was absent, I always ask, well, where was he? You know, that's the leading question, because then they stop and think, often for the first time, well, actually, he was at work, you know. So, yeah, that's a huge contribution to society and family life when men go out to work, you know, dawn till dusk and just keep the wheels churning, you know.
Yeah, someone's got to do it.
That's right.
And we're speaking with Jason Thompson, who is the historian and the promotions coordinator of International Men's Day in Australia. So I guess this has brought you into contact with Warwick Marsh in this role, has it?
It has. After I discovered the Wikipedia website and all the misinformation there, I noticed that Warwick Marsh had a Dad for Kids website on which he advertised that he was holding an International Men's Day event in 2008. And I contacted Warwick, and together we decided to expand that website with as much information as possible. So people who may be interested in International Men's Day could, you know, find out about the history of it, what its purpose is, and just find out who else is celebrating, things like that. So,
yeah, we've been speaking with Jason Thompson. Jason, thank you very much for joining Dad's on the Air. And we wish you all the best for International Men's Day.
Thank you very much.
We'll be back in a moment.
Feeling nice. nothing feels to me. I'm in paradise. There's nothing could be better. He is the perfect child. Breaks the rules, calls me a fool. Then he turns and smiles. She's my boy, and I'm his daddy. I love him forever, love him madly. Cause he's my boy, my pride and joy. Nothing can compare with holding his hand. Putting my fingers through his hair.
Dads in Distress meet in your area every week. If you're a non-custodian parent and would like to know who to contact or just want someone to talk to, help is just a phone call away. Dads in Distress, 1300 853 437, or dadsindistress.asn.au.
We're back with Dads on the Air.
And on the line now from the USA, we have Frank Crump, who is from UPI Education. That's United Progress International Education. Good afternoon or good morning, wherever it is, wherever you are, Frank. Are you
well,
there?
Well, good morning to you, Ian, and it's about 5:30 in the afternoon here in Arizona.
Okay. Well, it's 10:30 in the morning here, or 11:30, actually, in Sydney. Yeah, so how did you become involved in International Men's Day?
Oh, that's a good question. Diane Sears, who you had on a little earlier,
yep.
Who was your U.S. representative,
yes.
She actually contacted me with information about International Men's Day. And I guess with her knowing about Unified Progress International Education, or UPI Education, and the work that we do working with our youth,
yep.
She felt that some of the people that we have, particularly the role models we have, male role models, would play right into the theme that you have. So when she shared the information with us, by all means, we decided that this was something we readily agreed with and wanted to be involved with.
So could you just tell us a little bit, give us a bit of background on UPI Education and especially this role modeling, mentoring, obviously, activities that you are engaged in?
Sure. UPI Education is a non-profit organization. And we have a life skills program, which is for children from the ages of 9 to 22. We go into the schools and teach the program as an accredited program, accredited course, and sometimes we teach it as an after-school program. But basically, Ian, what we're doing is teaching kids about life, what society will expect and demand of them, what it's going to take for them to be successful. And I like to say that good old-fashioned home training. In a lot of instances, and this plays again with the International Men's Day, these children do not have two parents at home, or they're being raised by a guardian, and thereby they don't get the natural home training that someone spoke about a little while ago that we used to get 20, 30, 40 years ago.
Sure.
So UPI is an organization. Through our Life Skills program, we provide that for the kids.
So how do you see that involvement in International Men's Day specifically is going to help you in that work?
Well, I think that it brings the awareness, certainly, and that's most important. We would be involved with International Men's Day even if we weren't doing what we're doing with UPI, because
sure.
we believe that it is important. Not only that, I personally believe that we need more people to realize that they have an obligation in life to stand up and be counted. I think that too many people just sit back and only give lip service to what is wrong or what they would like to see changed. And that's not enough. Talk is cheap, and what we need is action.
Well, that's so, right.
I'm sorry.
I was going to say, well, our whole game here is based on talk. We're a radio program, but I get where you're coming from. Please do
yeah.
go on.
Well, no, I was just going to say that, you know, in today's world, as we look at it, various societies, you know, some of them with their stiff, archaic legal laws have beaten down many a good man.
Yep.
Who otherwise, as I'm sure you know and your program talks about daily, they'd be would be viable contributors to their family, their children, society, etc. So on our part, it's, again, to be a voice, to stand up, as I say, to be involved with organizations and people who are trying to make a difference, and that's the same thing we're trying to do at UPI Education.
Frank, good afternoon to you. It's Bill Cable in the studio with Ian Purdy.
Hi, Bill.
Hi. Just going back to what you were saying with working with the youth, we have some organisations in Australia. We've had them on the program. There's another one I know, Youth In Search, where they take, say, youths from 12 to 18, boys and girls, take them away for a camp for a weekend. Do you get involved in that sort of activity, or is it how do you actually structure your education?
Our program, we initially were involved, and I was with another organization that primarily was doing a couple of things. One, I was involved with Jim Brown. He's a famous footballer, American footballer here in the United States. And Jim had started a program called AmeriCan. Basically, what he did is was dealing with the gangs in Los Angeles and going out into the streets and working with the gangs to make peace among them and bring them life skills, if you will. He also went into the prisons and dealt with the youth prisons and with adults, if you will, male and female adults. But one of the things I wanted to do, and that's what we do with UPI, is a little different. When you're dealing with the gangs, they're already in the gangs. They're already in the jails. They're already in the prisons. So in answer to your question, we try to catch them before that happens. So we like to go into the schools as an accredited course and teach our class where these kids actually get a grade for our class. And or if we can't do that with them, we will do it as an after-school program. Likewise, we deal with the Boys and Girls Clubs, the YMCAs, the churches, etc.
That's very necessary and good work, I think, to try and get the get them before it starts, isn't it?
Yes, indeed.
Yeah, no, very valuable work. It must be very rewarding, but you also must see some absolute tragedies out there in the field, children that you try to help that you just can't help.
Well, you do. I mean, you can't save everyone, and that's something you have to realize going into this type of work, I think. You can only do your best. We have a coach, Tom Fleming, who is working with us, and Tom was a basketball coach at my old high school. He tells a quick story of there were 47 senior players that went through his program in an 8-year period. 43 of them went on to college. The other four, one's in jail for life. Another one was murdered. The other two, I don't remember exactly, but there was a negativity to it. And the point being, you can't save everyone. You can only try and do your best.
No, well, that's absolutely right. Well, Frank Crump, thank you so much for coming on to Dad's on the Air. That was a great contribution. And we wish you and UPI Education all the best in the future. And thank you for your involvement and participation in International Men's Day.
Thank you very much. My pleasure. Have a great day.
Thank you. Okay. Bye. We'll be back in just a moment.
I wish the world was peace. I wish that war would cease. I wish we found the cures to heal the world of all disease. I wish it snowed some way everywhere on Christmas Day. We'd watch the snow fall down and take the children's breath away. I wish that rainbows stayed in the sky. I wish grown men weren't ashamed to cry. Wish we could pull the stars down from the sky. But the one thing I wish most in my life is that we never have to say goodbye. I wish that life was fair. I wish that people cared, and not just for themselves, but living creatures everywhere. I wish that souls weren't lost. I wish that time could pause. I wish when we grew up, we still believed in Santa Claus. I wish that magic could change our lives. I wish the sun rise and set in your eyes. I wish Father goodbye. I wish the world was peace. I wish that war would cease. I wish we found the cures, heal the world of all disease. I wish it snowed some way everywhere on Christmas Day. We'd watch the snow fall down and take the children's breath away. I wish that magic could change our lives. I wish the sun rise and set in your eyes. I wish fathers always stayed in kids' lives. But the one thing I wish most in my life is that
we're talking with Uma Chella from India. Are you there, Uma?
Yes, sir. Good morning.
Oh, thank you so much for coming on to Dad's on the Air. Now, look,
thank you for having me.
Now, look, you're the Indian coordinator for International Men's Day. Can you just explain to us how you got involved and why you got involved?
Yeah. Actually, I have been working for the men's rights movement since the year 2006. And very soon after I got involved, I started noticing how much hype was being made about women's rights and women's empowerment. And there was so much activity around Women's Day. And some of us started looking around the internet to see if there was something like that for men too. And then we came across a couple of websites which talked about International Men's Day, but it didn't look like there was a single day that was dedicated as International Men's Day. And but we decided to do something, and we wanted to do it at a level at which it would be recognized internationally, so that we could standardize the date for International Men's Day. And 2007 was the first year we chose November 19th for the celebration. And that year I wrote a flyer and a press release and circulated it widely across the internet, and it reached a lot of people from different countries. And I was in the United States at that time, and my counterparts in India did different events in different parts of the country. And indeed, it caught a lot of media attention, but it didn't really percolate into the minds of the public. So, interestingly, in the year 2008, when I was in Bangalore at Father's Day rally, Warwick Marsh from Australia called me and said he came across my flyer and my press release for International Men's Day, and he thought how great he thought it was, and said that we should probably work to rally as many countries to join the effort as possible. So that's how Warwick and I actually got introduced, and we kept ongoing, and I'm very thrilled to see that this year there are so many countries that are taking part in this event.
Yes, it seems to be getting bigger and bigger. It's a real issue in India, isn't it, the what's happening with men over there? It's very they do particularly badly after divorce, I understand, in India, and that there's so much activity, isn't there, promoting the advancement of women, which is all for the good, but everything is against the men in the public debate.
Yes. I think, you know, a lot of men as well as women are carried away by the superficial mention of equal rights and, you know, women's empowerment. But they have not been able to understand that these words basically have been hijacked by the radical women's movement. And in the name of equality, what they're promoting is suppression of men, which is not all right. So we want to awaken people, because there are a lot of well-meaning men and women who truly believe in equality for all. So that's what we are trying to do. We want to use this occasion to help people understand why we have to work towards true equality, what it really means, and why should we improve relationships between men and women, why it's important for the society to have this kind of harmony between men and women. And, you know, I'm particularly thrilled about this year's theme, which is that we would like to highlight positive male role models. And, you know, especially because we got so used to either on one end, we are doing so much male bashing in the society, or, you know, there's this idolization of few celebrities, you know, as role models. But we forget that there are so many people, so many men in our everyday life who do make so many sacrifices, render so many services that make both family and society a great place to live in.
Well, so, no, there's so many men working in such difficult jobs. I mean, just in India, the rickshaw drivers, well, they're probably not there anymore, are they? It's all tuk-tuks now.
Yes.
But, you know, they live such a harsh life, and then in the public debate just get ridiculed. So you've written very nicely about the positive things about men. I wondered if you could talk about that. You say men protect and provide for families. Men render many services that make society comfortable for everyone. Men make many contributions to science, technology and health, and they perform the most dangerous and difficult jobs in the world. So could you just talk a bit about the positive things that men contribute to society as a whole?
I think that one of the most important things is that men actually put aside a lot of their problems and pains and troubles just to stand up for their families and, you know, people that are important to them, even, you know, outside. So, for example, I think, you know, when there is a problem, you know, any danger, it's the men who are first coming to the forefront, and they are the ones who lose their lives trying to protect other people. And I know it's very trivial, but I think that men have a great sense of humor. And if not for men, I don't think we would be we would laugh so much in our lives. And I think that's very valuable. There are so many great things and so many small things that men do which make life really wonderful.
And you've actually provided us with some statistics. I'm not quite sure whether these are Indian statistics or international statistics on the rates of suicides amongst men. Are these Indian statistics that you've given us here, just on the number of suicides, the number of murders, and so on and so forth?
Yes. Actually, the National Crime Records Bureau statistics show that men commit suicides at twice the rate as women do, and that's basically due to domestic problems. So annually, over 56,000 married men alone, you know, commit suicide.
165,000, is that right?
56,000.
56,000. Oh, I see.
Men, married men, a year.
Right.
That's just the married men. If you go into the other age brackets, it's the number is much higher. But basically, the reason why we highlight the 56,000 per year statistic is because what happens in India is the suicides of married women are given a lot of importance, and because of that, they have made a lot of very, very harsh laws that basically make look at the man as a criminal by default. So if a married woman commits suicide, they immediately term it as dowry death and incarcerate the man and his relatives. And it's a very big international issue. And, you know, a lot of international funding comes into play because dowry death is such a big issue. But in reality, dowry death is nothing but, you know, women, married women committing suicides. Now, when married men commit suicides, everybody just, you know, brushes it aside, saying a man has committed suicide, you know, either due to financial problems or some mysterious reasons. So we want to actually clear up the, you know, confusion about, you know, what these suicides are because of. And we want to make sure that everybody's welfare is taken care of. I mean, you know, even if you just think about a mother, losing a son is just as sad as losing a daughter. So, you know, the pain is the same. And any life is equally important. And, you know, if we want men and women to live happy, contented, fulfilling lives, we must make sure that the welfare of both men and women is given equal importance.
So what sort of reaction have you struck as an Indian woman speaking out for men when so much of the public debate is about advancing women's causes?
Actually, I think that India has been very open to this new effort. And initially, I think when it was just the men, I mean, mostly men, coming forward and fighting for their rights, a lot of questions and a lot of ridicule too. But as because India is a country where family is given a lot of importance. So yes, when family members have come out and have started speaking for their sons, for their brothers, for their fathers, and for their, you know, male relatives, people are able to relate to it much better than just the men, you know, coming out and saying that our rights are being violated. We want to work towards men's rights as, you know, family units that are interested in everybody's welfare.
So we've
it has received a very good response from the public and the media as well.
Right, we've only got about a minute to go. Would you like to just sum up why you got involved in International Men's Day and what the importance of it is?
I think that everybody should be given their rightful place in the family as well as in the society, and only then we achieve true equality and we can have you know, harmonious relationships between all people.
That's great. We've been talking with Uma Chala from India. She has a website, saveindianfamily.org, which you're the founder of that website, aren't you? And
yes. Actually, I am one of the founders.
Right. And has been seen as a very courageous figure in India speaking out for men. So thank you so much for coming on to Dads on the Air.
Thank you so much for having me.
No, thank you. Sorry, we don't have more time. We'll be back next week, so don't forget you can listen to this program at dadsontheair.net. That's dadsontheair.net. You can also listen to our past shows there. We'll be back next week. Thank you so much for joining us.
We're dead.